You may have noticed in the bulletin that today's title is The Love of God. And so today I just want to spend some time talking about the love of God and just the power of the love of God that sets us free. Because sometimes we can think that, you know, even though we have faith in Christ and faith in God, we believe in the Bible, sometimes we can still think that it's still all up to us to break our sin habits. It's all up to us. I got to get my thinking straight, and I got to get my habits straight, and I got to quit doing this and start doing that, and then maybe if I can do it long enough and hard enough and well enough, maybe I just get free of some of this stuff, and then maybe God will love me. And I just want to tell you, that kind of thinking is 100% wrong. It's completely upside down wrong. The love of God captures us. The love of God, through the payment of the cross and what Jesus did for us, through that love, all of our sin is dealt with. All of it. I'm going to show you this scripture in a minute. I'm just kind of just setting up a place for all of us to kind of think about so our hearts can be set free through the love of God. Because if we go through with just a little bit skewed thinking, we'll always be trying to be good enough for God to love us. And I'll just tell you, the way I grew up, there was sometimes that the way my parents treated me, I never really felt like I measured up. I never really felt like I was doing enough, I was good enough. I'll bet there's many of us that could identify with that. That's a horrible way to live. Can I just tell you that? It's a horrible way to live. Because most of the time, what you end up feeling is condemned. You feel like you're a loser. You feel like you're never going to amount to what you should be. And then you want to give up and you want to do dumb stuff like the stuff you wanted to stop doing, right? But God's love comes to us and His love deals with all that. He cuts through. So if we can get our thinking right, and that you heard me pray many times already today in front of you, and I've been praying all week, that God would help us in our limited human thinking, that God would help us to grasp the size of His love, the power of His love, that we'd understand how much He loves us, that would set us free from sin and death. Okay? So are you at Revelation chapter 1? Revelation is awesome. Honestly, I wish I could just start at verse 1, chapter 1, and just read through the whole book and then come back to this. But obviously, time restraints is not going to allow that. So can I just encourage you, read the book of Revelation sometime on your own. And you don't have to try to sit down and go, okay, I'm gonna do this thing. I'm gonna read the whole thing cover to cover. I just dare you, try to read one chapter, see if that's enough. Because it's just amazing. It's awesome. For me, the book of Revelation just kind of peels back the curtain a little bit, lets me peek into heaven a little bit. And just kind of picture. It kind of describes, and of course I'm trying to use my imagination when I read the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to show me something. And so it kind of shows me the expanse heaven and how amazing heaven is, how other heaven is, and how amazing this throne is that's in the middle of heaven, and the one who sits on the throne, and His glory and His majesty, His power that just emanates from Him. And then you've got all these angels. The Bible uses the term 10,000 times 10,000, which is it's a scriptural term. Basically, it says a number too big for your pea brain to figure out. We're having problems again, aren't we? I think I'm going to have a deliverance on this thing one day. Yeah. It's going to look a lot like me stomping on it. So should I go back to old reliable? I hear some yeses up here, so I think I should do that. Okay, so. There we go. I think that might really confuse some issues. So. When I read Revelation and I'm trying to like have God help me out, picture some of the stuff, and I'm seeing God the Father on this throne in the middle of it in the terms like 10,000 times 10,000, which is innumerable angels. And then it says that there's heavenly beings too that must not be angels because they'd have been lumped in with angels. And it describes how some of these things look like, and they're all just really bizarre, crazy creatures. And all of them are reflecting the glory of God, and it says like the ground looks like pure crystal. And then, it just goes on to describe all this different stuff. And all of it is like reflecting the glory of God.
And then we have individuals, like John gets this message of the book of Revelation, and he writes these things down for us so that we can kind of hear what's on the Father's heart. That he literally says, now, John, write this stuff down and tell people this what's coming up. And so that's kind of what we're going to find here today. So this is book of Revelation, chapter 1, starting with verse 4. This letter is from John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, and is still to come, from the sevenfold Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. He is, listen to this job description of who Jesus is. He is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead, and the ruler of all the kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. I'm going to keep reading, but I just want to highlight verse 5. The last little bit of verse 5 says, all glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He has made us a kingdom of priests for his God and Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. That's just what, a total of 4 verses? Can you imagine what this whole chapter is? And you get up into just a few more chapters, and it starts talking about how in heaven there's a scroll, and it's sealed with 7 seals, and we need someone to open up the scroll and kind of make this proclamation of how the end times are all going to unfold and finish up. And there's a voice saying, well, who's worthy? And there's nobody that's worthy, because you have to be perfect to open up this scroll. And as the story unfolds for us, Jesus stands up, the Lamb who was slain for me and you personally. He stands up and he starts popping these seals off this thing, and amazing things happen. So that I won't ruin the story for you. I just want to encourage you. Read the book of Revelation. It'll encourage you. Because the filter to read the book of Revelations from is not, I wonder who this is going to happen to. That's not the filter. The filter to read the book of Revelations from is, I'm born again. I have the Spirit inside me. I've actually been born again by the power of the Holy Ghost. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. So every promise about being kept safe by avoiding the punishments of when the Spirit leaves, I leave, that goes for me. If you're not born again, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then the book might be concerning to you. Please talk to me about it. We can fix that. Amen? So it talks about the love of God. Just kind of put your finger right there on verse 5. It says, all glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins. This is agape love. If you did a word search through your concordance, your Strong's concordance, you'll find that there's 3 words in the New Testament that talk about love. And one of them is like affectionate love, like me and my wife would have for each other, that type of affectionate love. One kind of love is like the love that we kind of throw around all the time, like I love fried chicken, right? I love going to football games, that kind of love, which is, you know, maybe you love football games until your team loses 8 in a row. Then you kind of fall out of love real quick. The third type of love is agape love, and that's God's love. And that kind of love, you actually can get glimpses of from one person to another person. We actually step from emotional, feeling type love into this love that is an absolute decision, and every decision after that decision is to prove that love. That's what God's agape love is. It can't be agape love without proof. Period. It's just a concept. Agape love is what God did on the cross through Jesus Christ for us. God said, I love you guys. And then he proved it by sending his son for us. Wow. You ever have people say, oh, I love you, and then you never see him again? Over the years, I'll bet I've had over 100 people say, Pastor, I just love you. I just love this church. I just love everything about this place. And I never see him again. And I just scratch my head and I just think, okay, so he likes this. He loves this church kind of like how I love Reese's. You know, if it's there, I'll eat it, but I ain't going to go out of my way to get it. Agape love is the opposite. When God says that Jesus loves us and has set us free from our sins, he means it. It's total, it's final, it's complete. And as I talk a little bit more, especially over the next few minutes, I just want to highlight this idea. There's a big difference between who we feel like we are and who God says we are. There's a huge difference. If we let our feelings dictate who we are, we're going to miss out so much in life. We really are. God says, look, I love you so much. It's actually called agape love. If you look it up in Strong's, it's the 25th word in Strong's. I know this because I've looked it up many times over the years. God's love is so absolute. He says, I love you so much, I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to set my love on you, and I'm going to enforce it through the blood of my one and only, Jesus Christ. Did you like his titles when it says that Jesus is, he's the faithful witness, so everything that Jesus says you can count on? I think we all know that, amen? When we read the promises that Jesus says in the four Gospels, it's true. It's for sure true. What Jesus said is true, and I can count on. But it also describes him as being the first to rise from the dead. Do you know the Christmas story is coming up? We all know that. Christmas is just around the corner. It's next month. It's going to be here before we know it. Pretty soon we're going to be in the holiday rush, right? And then we're hearing Christmas there and here and there, and there's all the movies and the specials and the music nonstop and all that stuff. And if we're not careful, we can miss the awesomeness of what Christmas celebrates. Christmas celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger. We all get that. But more than that, Can I encourage you to use your faith eyes? When you see that baby in the manger, could you see this man that Revelation describes as the first to arise from the dead, the very first one? Do you know, first means there must be a second and a third and a fourth and so on and so forth, right? It didn't say the only one to rise from the dead. We'd have to be scratching our heads then. Because if he's just the only one, then what about us? What if he's the first of six? Ooh, I don't think I'm in the top five of any group of church, right? That would be concerning. But he says he's the first. If you look that up, again, if you go to your Strong's and you look up that phrase, the first to rise from the dead, you'll find it in several different places. And all of it points to the rapture. That's our king's title. Our king. There's no other king described as the one that came back from the dead. No other king ever. Ever. Not in Marvel Universe, not in the real universe, right? He's the one that came back from the dead. And he did it so that we can. What? We're back to that agape love. God loved me so much, knowing who I was, whew, at my worst, knowing who I am still now, not perfect, knowing who I'm going to be 10 years from now, still not perfect. If I can ever get perfect, I don't need a Savior. Did you ever think of that? There's so many people worried about whether they're perfect or not. Do you know you'll never be perfect? On your last day on the planet, you're still going to need Jesus. Let's just get that out of the way. Okay, well, God loves me. It was his plan to spill Jesus' blood for me. So, cool, let's do this thing. It's an exciting thing. The agape love comes to us and changes it. It says that through his love, he has blood washed our sins from us. I looked up this phrase in probably 10 or 12 different Bible versions. Just that simple phrase says he loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. Now, you might have one that says it just says he's washed our sins away. You might have one that says that he set us free. One of them actually says that he has broke the chains of sin through shedding his blood for us. Wow. So what the Bible's saying, I know I'm really hitting this hard, but I want us all to leave here today being totally confident of this truth. The shed blood of Jesus Christ took care of all my sins. All my sins have been washed away. Experientially, you know how in experience as we're living through life, I'll bet all of us sinned yesterday. That's not too far out on a limb, is it? I'll bet you most of us already sinned today. I would be in that group. My wife is shocked. I'm not as bad as I was. Hopefully I'm not as good as I'm going to be. But let me just tell you, every single day I am thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that took care of all my sins. They're all took care of. They don't get took care of when I get all sorry and guilty and ashamed of them, and then I finally feel bad enough to where I kind of wander back over to God and say, oh, I'm sorry about that. That's not when they get took care of. They get took care of when I get born again and I come to the Lord. I come to the Father and I say, I believe who you are. I believe your son died like you said. I believe it was payment in full, and I believe he arose from the dead. I believe that. Cha-boom! That's when our eternity changes. We're born from above. We get a brand new spirit person, and our everything changes. Amen. Period. Period. We can't improve on that. We cannot add anything to that. It's done. That's what God's truth says. That's what the Bible says. Now, our experience is a whole other thing. We're down here. I've read the Bible. It says Christ died for me. It says his blood broke all those chains of sin, took care of it, washed all those sins away. Well, then how come a couple of days ago, I really blew it, and anybody that would have been watching would have said, oh, Mike, that's absolutely sin. How come that happened then? Because there's a difference. There's a difference between who God says we are, theologically, scripturally. The Bible says, I am a new creation. I am perfect because of my faith in Christ. That's done. That's settled. And then there's me over here right now, walking it out, trying to be mature. Right? Over here, you accept Christ. If you got run over by a train 2 minutes later, you're going straight to heaven because Jesus paid for it. Over here, if I live another 40 years, then I'm working on Mike, trying to mature. But they're two different, separate things. If we confuse them, then I'll lug some of this stuff over here. Oh, man, on Tuesday, I was cussing like a sailor that stubbed his toe. I'm just such a horrible loser. And then I went and had 3 beers, and I'm just worthless and horrible, and I'll probably just die and go to hell. What? I thought you were born again. Oh, yeah, I am. Well, then why are you saying all that mess? Why are you even thinking it in your head? If Christ is your Savior, you're born from above, you're perfect in God's eyes, and you're going to heaven. However, in the time we still have left, we want to work on some of this stuff. I don't think Jesus ever swore like a sailor, right? I know Jesus drank wine, but I'm sure he never got drunk, right? So the stuff that we all still struggle with, this is a maturity thing. I want, with God's help, to be more like Jesus. Because that means I'm going to love people better. I'm going to be able to encourage you guys. I'll be able to fulfill the purposes of God. I want to work on my maturity. But I'm going to enjoy and celebrate my perfection in front of God every single day. Got to start here. I can't ever start there. I start here, and then I walk over into that area. Romans 5:8 says it this way. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is a powerful truth. I know you guys have heard this many times, but I think it's worth repeating many, 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 many more times. You can't improve and make God love you any more than he already does. You cannot have an awesome day today and think God loves you more now today because you put a few good things together. Our starting point always has to be that God loved us so much that he broke the chains of sin off of us through the blood of his son. Those chains are already broken. They're already done. If you have your Bible in front of you, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 18. Sometimes for me, I'm always looking for physical descriptions that link to Scripture, that would reflect Scripture as a good illustration. And for me, the closest thing that I've experienced on this planet that physically looks like what I think God's love looks like is a mother's love for her children. And a grandmother, of course. They get grandmothered in. That's where you get that clause. The way moms love their kids, they will do anything for their kids. And dads will too most of the time, but let's just face it. Moms are way more patient than dads. And kids know it. I've said it before. If you have a little kid in the house and they get hurt, you will see them run right past dad to go to mom. Right? Do the same thing with grandma and grandpa too. They'll run right past grandpa to get mothered by grandma. That kind of love that no questions asked, I don't care what you were doing. Dad's going to say, well, what were you doing? How'd you get hurt? Right? Didn't I tell you not to mess around with that? Serves you right. You got 9 more fingers. Don't worry about that other one. Mom's like, oh, you poor little thing. Come here. Oh, don't worry about it. I know you broke dad's. I don't care about all that stuff. Here, come here. He can buy another one. Oh, I just love. Right? It's really different. That's how the Father's love is for us. Can you imagine loving someone so much that you take your only child and have them die a horrible death for that person just so you can have a relationship with them? That's what God did for us. His love, his over-the-top, crazy love, that's what he did for us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. This is another description of Jesus, the one and only. It says, he's also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That phrase needs to get used more. Because that phrase reminds us that we're coming back from the dead. It helps us to go, you know what? Some of the stuff that I struggle with, some of the stuff I'm so worried about, it's temporary. All the stuff that is stressing us, pushes our buttons, that stuff's temporary. I don't care if it's health issues, if it's college, if it's relationship. I don't care what it is. It's temporary. You think of what's stressing you right now. What's your stressor? That's temporary. The permanent truth is that Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, has come back for us. We're part of that next group to look at the firstborn. He says he's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead. So that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds because of your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. If, you just put your finger right there and just hold on to that. Verse 23 starts with this big if. Because before we talk about that if, what the if is and how we deal with that if, what's that all about? Well, as we started out, we were talking about how he who loves us has gotten rid of all of our sin through his blood. Paul comes back through in Colossians and he says that he has reconciled all of it. You know, reconcile is a fancy banking term. Really, what it means is to take, like, if this is the pile of your debts, you got all these debts that you owe, and over here's the money, the deposits that you have in your account. When you take this money and you cover that debt, you reconcile it. So at the end of it, when you take all your monies and you put it against your debts and you draw a line, you add all this stuff together, and it all balances out. It's all zero. That means it's completely reconciled. It's an accounting term. So our sin has been reconciled. No, seriously. All of our sin has been reconciled. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't owe anymore. Anybody here buy a house in the last year? Anybody buy a house in the last year? Oh, there we go. Imagine if they called you up and said, hey, Mr. Bowen, I just want to tell you that your debt's been reconciled. Yeah, you don't owe anything on this thing. It's yours. Free and clear. I bet you'd be a little more excited than that, though. It's such a fairy tale that they're like, yeah, okay, great, neat. But really, our sin has been reconciled. To the point where, do you see how now Paul describes us in this? He says, now you are holy, faultless, and blameless. Wow. Come on. When was the last time you felt like you were blameless? Completely blameless. Uh-huh. Not many of us, not very often. It's our stinking thinking. I'm telling you, it's our stinking thinking. Over here, as we walk out our maturity, we're trying to be more like Christ, we're going to fail sometime. We're going to have good days, bad days. That ain't this. Over here, we are holy and blameless in front of God. All of our sins have been washed away. It's reconciled. Hallelujah. If I can stay focused over here and remind myself of this, when I get over here and I'm trying to conquer whatever that little button was that you thought of earlier, when I know that God is totally for me, that he completely loves me, that he's already broke all my sin, it's already took care of, it's like, yeah, today I can do this. Today I can do it better than I did before because I know how much God loves me. Amen? How do we get this whole blameless thing? It says to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. Verse 23, if. I bet this if's a doozy. Let's see how we qualify. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard. So the only if for me to be totally reconciled, for me to have all my sins washed off of me to be set free of all that, the only if is for me to keep my faith in Jesus, to believe the gospel and stay there. I still believe in the gospel. That's not the monster if I thought it was going to be. I thought that if was going to have me over here, if I prayed enough, and if I went to church enough, and if I gave enough money, and if I was really good, and if I quit doing those sins, and if. Oh, that's hopeless. I might as well give up. Right. We're over here. The if is, do you believe in Jesus still? Absolutely. Boom. You're blameless. Wow. This is exciting stuff. This should really get us stoked, honestly. I've been married for over 30 years. When she snaps her fingers, I jump. I am trained. He's been married a little while, too. God's love in Jesus on the cross and being the firstborn from the dead makes us holy and faultless and blameless before him. Wow. Wow. Can I encourage you? I want to give you guys all some homework this week. This is your homework. You got homework. Every day when you wake up in the morning, before you swing your feet out to throw them on the floor and start your day, before you do that, could you just say this simple little phrase? Heavenly Father, thank you for making me blameless. And then you can follow that up, whatever else you want to do. Heavenly Father, thank you for making me blameless. And then you just go ahead, ask him for whatever you want, thank him for whatever you want, whatever. But I'll guarantee it's going to change your day. It's going to change your week. Because you know what? When we're intentionally happy, we're happy. Duh. Right? And guess what? I mean, the Bible calls it joy. I could split the atoms and show the difference between happiness and joy. But you know what? Where there's one, you usually find the other one. So if you're happy, you're filled with the joy of the Lord, and you're concentrating on how he's made you blameless, this stuff over here doesn't seem so daunting. This stuff over here is like, no, I got God on my side. I'm blameless. Shoot, that stupid habit, today I conquer it. Today I give that habit the orders. It don't order me around, right? Paul says you're blameless. As long as you remember, faith is in Jesus. So now let's go back to Revelation chapter 1. Sometimes we come to the Lord in faith, and we understand this part of it over here where we're blameless. Our sins were reconciled. We our account's zero. Awesome, great. Okay, but seems like that's not the whole story. Because it's not. It's not the whole story. Let's read just a little bit more. I'm just going to start with verse 5, Revelation chapter 1. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, hallelujah, I'm following him, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We can't just leave it at zero over here because our account isn't zero anymore. We have been forgiven. We have been cleansed. We have been set free. But now, by faith, if we believe in the gospel, we believe in Jesus, Jesus says, the faithful witness, the first one from the dead, Jesus says, well, you guys are all part of this new kingdom now. You're all part of this new thing going on now. Because of what I've done for you and because of your faith in me, this is what you are. You're kings or queens. You're kings and you're priests. Why are those titles so important if we understand a little bit what he's after in this? First off, let's start with priests and I'll circle back to kings and queens. You know, a priest's job is a go-between. In the Old Testament with Moses and the Levites and all the way through up into the New Testament, their job was the go-between. And some denominations still have that even to this day, where if you have a problem and you want to go to God with that problem, then you got to come to a priest. And the priest is the go-between. Or what you see in the Old Testament many times with the prophets, when God had a problem with the people, God would come to the prophet, then the prophet would go to the people. So the priest is standing here in between the people and God, and he's basically the go-between. Jesus says, you guys are my New Testament priests. When I want to do something in the land and with the people, I'm going to go through you guys. What? Yep. Not because you're working out this whole maturity thing. I don't know where you are with that. I don't know if you're ever going to get there. Because what I already did for you. Because I already reconciled. Because I already call you blameless. You can represent me if you keep faith in the gospel. Represent me to the people. And by the way, you're a priest. So all the people around us with all their stuff, oh my goodness. We all got friends and relatives are going through some horrible stuff right now. Amen? I know we do. I know we do. Our hearts go out to them. Guess what? We can say, hey, you know what? Can we just take a second and pray? Because I can pray for you in Jesus' name and the Father will hear you. He will hear my prayers for you. I'm your go-between. Can I do that for you? That ought to get us excited. Almost as excited as me being blameless. Because honestly, I'm still a little bit selfish. Me going to heaven is still more important than the other people around me. It's a close second. It's a close second. But I ain't giving up my seat on the bus for nobody. Amen? But what I can do is I can get you a ticket. You can sit right next to me. Because I'm a go-between. Did I tell you? I actually got the ear of the Heavenly Father. And you want to know who it is that I talk to? Read Revelation. He's the one that's on the throne. In the middle of the glory. In the middle of countless angels all worshiping. In the middle of all that amazingness is the one he says, look at Mike, you're going to be a priest now. You're my go-between. Tell them some of the stuff I've got in my word. Tell them about some of the truth. But then listen to them. And why don't you come to me with what they tell you, and we're going to work this thing out for their lives. That goes for all you guys too. We're priests. We're priests. And if you wonder, well, okay, but what kind of authority do I have? Well, let's just back it up a little bit. He says, first off, you're kings and priests. So the authority for this priest, which never, ever in all of history, was there ever people like us who were kings and priests? You can check the whole Old Testament. Never were the two one. You were either a king who need the priest to come in, or you were the priest that would go and give the king advice, but there was never both. So now not only are we the go-between between God Almighty, the one who sits on the throne, and the people that are suffering in this world, and from them to him, but we're also royalty. Come on. I know we're all Americans, and you know we really don't look at earthly kings and queens all that big a deal. But the Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's a king, he's the firstborn. He's a king. Jesus is a king to the emperor. That's the Heavenly Father. Jesus is our brother. He calls us brothers and sisters. We're kings to the emperor. Because of what Jesus has done for us and imparted to us. So half of it is my sin. Yep, it's zero. That's half of it. I've been totally forgiven. Clean, done. That's half. The other half is what he's imparted to me and qualified me to be a king and a priest. With the authority of God and the relationship with God, that's who we are. Man, praise God. Hallelujah. because of how much he loved us, he's washed all our sins away, took care of that. And because of how much he loves the world, he's sending it out to say, hey, come on. You heard something. Could you pass that on? You've experienced something. Could you share that? You don't have to give your house away. You don't have to give your cars away. Don't worry about us. Just share the truth about the love of God. How every sin can be washed away. Every chain can be broken. How? There's a big if. By putting our faith in Jesus Christ. We can have all of that done for us. So can I have the worship team come up for me, please? We're all going to spend some time in just one more song of worship. I just want to ask the question, is there anyone here today that wants to give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe you're in the valley of decision and you've wondered about it in the past and you just want to make sure that all your sins taken care of, that it, on your little ledger sheet, it's going to be a zero on that. And you want to see what this is to be a king and a priest. If you'd like to, just raise your hand. I'll lead you in a short prayer. It'll change you everything. Well, we're going to worship, and at the end of the song, I'm going to close with prayer. And I just want to give everybody this opportunity. If after we close and after I close with prayer, if you'd like some personal prayer, just come on up, and it'll be a private thing, and I'll pray with you, I'll pray for you, and we can go from there. But I just want you to know that you're precious to God. Every single person here today that's heard this word, God wants you to know he loves you. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. And he wants to show you some great and amazing things. Amen. Lois, would you please lead us?
This is Amazing Grace. Will you please stand up? Kevin, get it up there. Who breaks the power of sin and
we
Before I close, I just want to share something. When we were worshiping earlier, I felt that God gave me a word of wisdom, a prophetic word, and so I'm just going to say it, and if this is you and you want to talk to me more about it later on, I can do that. But the impression that God gave me, and he just reminded me again, was that something happened to you when you're 8 years old and this person did something to you, and then what they did to you, just as bad as what they said to you afterwards, and it scarred you, and you've been lugging around your whole life, and God wants to set you free of that. So if that's you and you want prayer or you want to talk about it more, please come up to me after service. Well, Heavenly Father, I just thank you that the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, has set us all free from our sin. Once and for all, our sin was taken care of. It was paid for, and it was broken off of us. It was taken care of once and for all. It's done. Lord, I pray for that revelation, the clarity of that revelation, that it's a finished work, would literally shape our thinking this week. Father, would you please bless your sons and daughters? Bless them, Lord. Draw them close to you. Give them great joy. Give them great peace. Give them the full portion of the kingdom that they inherited through your Son. Would you help us now as we leave this place? Help us, Lord, to think of ourselves as kings and queens and priests. Would you do that, Father? Help us to see us the way you see us. Not how other people see us, not how we think about ourselves, but the truth. Help us to be who you know we are. Would you help us, Lord? I pray a blessing on your flock, your precious flock, the body of Christ, the family of God. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. God bless y'all. Have a great week. And again, if you want some prayer, just come on up. I'd love to pray with you. I raise a hallelujah.